Welcome back to Unbox the Inbox with me, your host, Gary Redmond. On this podcast, you'll learn how to grow your subscription business using the power of free and mostly automated email marketing. And we'll hopefully have some fun doing it too. I'm a co-founder of Boosterbox.com and also a mentor and coach helping founders like me and you create their dream life through their subscription box business. So today I want to talk about what I would do if I was starting over my subscription box business. This might be helpful for you if you're in pre-launch or you're thinking about your business, or you've been running it for a while and you're not getting the results that you want, or you just like to be interested, you're interested in hearing maybe what I would do if I could start again. And I suppose what I would do to skip the 8 years that I spent, or at least 5 or 6 years spent struggling with the business and actually getting straight into some success in the beginning. Okay. So, I'm just going to dive right into it today pretty much. So if I was starting over, I'm going to first talk about the things that I wouldn't do, okay? So I wouldn't spend months and months and months in pre-launch, like spending a lot of time trying to build up social media following, building up email subscribers. While I would build up email subscribers, like, people kind of get the wrong impression of what, the expectations of how many people are actually going to convert from a successful pre-launch campaign. And like, look, if you can do it, it's great. It's a great head start for your business, but you're not gonna run a successful subscription box business just from a pre-launch, because post-launch, you're still going to have to learn how to market the business. And so for that reason, I would run a pre-launch. I would gather some email leads, but even that takes a lot of work and marketing effort in order to come up with a landing page that actually accurately represents the actual box that they're going to receive. Capturing the emails, keeping people engaged. And I have recorded a podcast on this before. You can go back and listen to it. So while I would do it, I wouldn't spend 6 months doing it. Okay. I would do it just to get some movement in the beginning, and also to validate my idea and to validate people are actually willing to sign up for my email list and be notified for the launch. Okay. I wouldn't spend too much time doing that. What I would do also is come up with a strong launch offer. And basically keep people engaged through my emails. But I wouldn't let this go on for too long, because a lot of people I talk to are stuck in the, I'm in the audience building phase. Like, it's a buzzword, right? An audience building phase. Building an audience takes absolutely years. So if you're holding off launching your box until you've built a large enough audience, or what you believe to be a large enough audience, it's going to be a long, long time, and you'll get stuck in sort of pre-launch hell where you never actually launch properly. And also, we were expecting 300 subscribers from our first launch, from when we launched, because we had like 1,000 email subscribers. But our expectations were just ridiculously off. People threw us their email because we ran a giveaway on social media. And like, we expected 30% of those people to convert into customers, when in reality, we ended up with about 12 subscribers. So your pre-launch and your launch can go terribly, but you can still build a business with 10,000 subscribers like we did. Okay. So yeah, I wouldn't get stuck in audience building anyway, should we say. Okay. The second thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't work with any influencers, because they can't influence people. So assuming you've launched and you've gone ahead with your business, you're afraid of putting money into ads, and that's understandable. We're going to cover the things that I would do later in this episode, but one of the things I wouldn't do is spend a lot of time and effort trying to build up an influencer network and trying to send them boxes and trying to get them to post on social media, because while it can sometimes drive sporadic sales here and there, what happens is they end up just burning through their audience. So we used to get maybe a few sales from sending a box to an influencer, and then we'd keep sending them, and the sales would eventually dwindle and then become nothing. Because number one, social media companies don't show your posts to the majority of your followers, which we're going to talk about in my next point. And number two, people's audiences are finite. Like, if the people who are interested in that particular influencer's audience, then, they're going to burn through. They're going to sign up, and the people who aren't interested just aren't. Okay. So like, social media, it might be a different story if you're sending your boxes to people like Kim Kardashian and you're getting massive, massive, massive reach. Like, that kind of level of influence does work. But if it's, a couple of 100,000 followers or 100,000 followers, I've tried that and it hasn't worked. So I wouldn't spend too much time on influencers. And another thing that I wouldn't do, kind of related to it, which brings me to my next point, I wouldn't expect any sales from social media if I were you, because social media is great for being social. It's great for showing a presence. But on the daily, like in Boosterbox, we don't discuss organic social media strategy whatsoever, because it doesn't drive any of our sales. But we do have a social media presence. We do monitor social media, try and keep in contact with our customers and reply to them when they send us pictures. And we do try and generate user-generated content. So inside of our boxes, we ask people to send in pictures of their dog enjoying their box. And we run a competition on social media every month. But that's literally just for us to get those images for us to use in our ads, which is our acquisition, customer acquisition strategy. So I wouldn't be expecting too much from social media. You do need to have a presence there, and it is good for keeping your customers engaged. And as I said, getting that user-generated content, which you can use in your emails and on your website and in your ads. But I wouldn't be expecting to base my marketing strategy around organic social media, okay? Simply because it doesn't work for Busterbox. And as I mentioned with the numbers game, like, social media companies want you to pay anyway. So if you spend 6 months or a year building up a following, or if you're spending a lot of time on social media to build up your following, you know, you get to 20,000 followers, which would take a massive amount of work. You're only going to show your posts to like 4% of those people anyway. And then how many of those people are going to actually click over to your profile and then go to your website and then sign up to your box? It's actually much better just to run ads, because people click directly from the social media platforms that you work for now for free and just go straight to your website. Okay. So, but in order to pay for ads, we're going to need to talk about what I would do. Okay. So, part two of this episode, what would I do if I was starting over? Okay. I would, number one, I'd get very clear on who my target customer is and how my box can help them. So many people fall into the trap of not understanding what they're selling. And then people might think, what the hell am I talking about? I'm selling a box of running gear. Okay. But you need to understand your customer and how your box can help them achieve a solution to their problems, or help them to relieve pain, or help them to gain pleasure. You need to basically fill out a customer avatar worksheet. So you need to know their challenges. You need to know their desires. So for example, actually, let me continue with that first. So challenges, desires, pain points, objections, values, all this sort of thing, and try and understand on an emotional level what your box can actually do for them, right? So let's go back with the running example, okay? If I know that the customer, that like my target customer is an avid runner, okay? What's their goals? Well, they want to beat their personal best, okay? They want to run faster, or they want to let's say get a personal best, run faster, like have an active lifestyle. So their goals, maybe it's to run a marathon. So if you understand their goals, you'd be able to basically position your box and your products as a solution to their problem. Okay. So as I said to you, a lot of people can say, well, I sell a box of running gear, but I always say, well, you know, I can buy running gear on Amazon. I can buy dog toys on Amazon. So why should I sign up for your box? And it's about connecting the convenience, the service, the products, and all the entire package of your product and your business to, well, I'm going to help you to have a happy dog. I'm going to help you to hit your personal bests. I'm going to help you to run that marathon, okay? We also want to think about the customer's values. What do they value? Healthy lifestyle. They value, you know, looking after themselves, living longer, feeling good, having energy. How can your box help them achieve that? So instead of saying, I send you, you know, supplements and vitamins, it's, I send you supplements and vitamins to help you to feel great, look great, and hit your personal bests easily. Okay. So this might be a bit abstract now, but what we're going to do in the next step of what I would do is we're going to talk about how we actually use this information to write the copy on your website and optimize your website to convert. But without knowing this information and being clear on who your customer is, you won't be able to translate your basically benefits of your box into your website copy. Okay. Because a lot of people can talk a lot about features and what products they send, but they can't talk about, like what they can do for their customer. And actually, the funny thing is, founders can talk about it all the time when I ask them directly on a call, but they rarely are able to translate that over to their website where it matters. Okay. So another thing you want to look at for your customer avatar is challenges and pain points. So what are their challenges? They have pain when they're running. They run out of energy. They lack motivation. What are their pain points? You know, they struggle to find time. They struggle to keep consistent. So again, if you're selling a box of running gear, you can also have, you know, features or products in your box to help them stay consistent. You can have products to help them to, you know, improve their running, the sort of gait or whatever way they're running. Maybe you can, you know, you help them with mobility, all these things that you can help them overcome their challenges and remove their pain points. One other thing you should think about is your customers' objections. So one big objection that everybody's going to have for every single subscription box is money. So if you can actually think about and don't think, oh my God, my box is too expensive, I'm going to charge nothing and make no money. It's how can you prove the value of your box? If you're going to help, if I'm struggling to hit a personal best for the last 6 months and you give me a box that helps me to do it in the space of a month, well, I might pay a lot of money for that. It's about you being able to say, well, actually, you know, by signing up for this box, you're going to save money, you're going to save time, you're going to avoid effort, you're going to escape your pain, and you're going to have an increase in status. You're going to be, you know, you're going to smash your marathon time, okay? So this, that's just an example for a running box. I didn't go with dog boxes this time, which I always do, but understanding your customer is the first thing I would do before I launch another subscription box and understand, okay, if I'm going to sell them candles, you know, how are my candles going to help them to have a nice home, to have that homely feeling, to invite friends over, to have the place smelling lovely, to help them, you know, you're selling an experience. It's a relaxation box in a box, like a candle box, okay? So I would then take this information, and the next thing I would do is I would optimize my website to convert. So number one thing I would do is I would create some really, really high quality, high res imagery of my mock-up box. So the box looks in the best possible light you can ever look, okay? So if you go to busterbox.com, we have bright colors, we have high-res photos. The box just looks really, really professional, which helps to basically drive perceived value, okay? But also, if we understand that what we want to do is we want to get our customers to basically, then go back to the running example, we want to, like, we can say on your website, instead of saying 5 to 6 products to, like, you know, and get around being a great runner, it's smash your personal best with this box, a monthly delivery of high quality items to help you to look great, feel great, and achieve the fitness dreams of your that you've always wanted. So instead of, you know, like, it's again talking about, because you understand your customer, you're able to actually optimize your website to make and give an emotional reaction, and an emotional reaction is what drives action. Okay, so you might have heard this before. People decide to buy with emotion and justify with logic. So when you come over to our website, they see the happy dogs, they see smiling dogs, dogs getting their boxes. They want to give that feeling to their dog. They're not thinking about, you know, I want to get 30 quid coming out of my account every month for dog toys, right? But when they see other people with it, they see that the fact we're going to basically, our promise is that we're going to make your dog happy. And if we can deliver on that promise and show proof, then we'll basically have a website that's optimized to convert. Yeah, it all comes back to the copy, as I said. So if you can show other people who are, you know, crossing the line at a marathon, people who have gone from, you know, this time to this time with your running box, well, then you'll be able to translate again what we're talking about. We're going to help you to overcome your challenges. We're going to help you to achieve your goals and within your values. So I hope this is not getting too abstract, but basically what I'm saying is you need to figure out, what experience do you sell? Because every subscription box is essentially a luxury product. No one is going to die if they don't receive your subscription box. But you need to be able to say, well, I'm actually going to save you time, money, and effort by signing up for this, and I'm going to help you to achieve this result. The next thing I would do is I would come up with an unbelievable offer, okay? So offers are what drives people to take action now and not in 6 months' time or never. So I would just come up with an unbelievable offer. It doesn't have to be a discount. It can be, but you can also do like a free gift. You could do a discount plus a free gift, or you could, you know, it just depends how aggressive you want to go. But if the better offer that you can come up with, the more customers you're going to sign up. Okay. So again, another thing with a free gift is that something might be worth $60 or $70, but only costs you $10. So you can say, you know, you get this free gift worth a lot of money, but it doesn't actually cost you that much money, which means that it helps to kind of mitigate your margin. And if you're not, obviously, if you're giving a discount, you're giving that much money off and you're not going to get that back. So coming up with an unbelievable offer, there's a previous episode on that as well. I'd also install a sign up flow and email automations, because I understand that people don't buy at most products on the first look. They don't just come over to your website with their wallet out and ready to buy. So I know that when I'm getting ready to start to launch the box, or when I have launched the box and I'm trying to market it, I want to have an email capture system, and that's going to be your sign up flow. And I'm going to have email automations that are going to trigger when someone goes to the website and joins the email list from the sign up flow but doesn't sign up. And believe it or not, excuse me, that's a very simple thing to do, and it's a simple 4 email sequence that we actually send. Okay. The other thing I would do, and kind of pretty much the last thing you need to do, is to just look at what you're, so if we have a website that's optimized, we know who our customer is, how we can help them, we have a great offer, we have a sign up flow capturing emails, and we have our emails funneling people back to the website. We simply monitor the metrics. Okay, so what's the conversion rate? What's the email capture rate? What's the open rate on the emails? And what's the click-through rate on the emails? If these are all high, it's ready. Then you're ready to start driving traffic to your website. And the reason why so many people fail with ads is that they don't do all this work first, and they think that they're just going to turn on ads and Facebook is going to, you know, solve all their problems. But in reality, your website needs to be optimized and your emails need to be optimized to number one, convince people, and number two, to remind people. So when we're trying to run ads, it's a very simple thing we do as well. Look at our successful competitors on the Facebook ad library and look at what kind of ads they're running. What videos, what images, what hooks, what headlines, what offers are they using in their ads? You don't copy any of them. You write down and you take inspiration from what they're doing. So then when you go to create your own ads, you already have like a creative repository of all the other things that you saw working for similar companies. Okay, you can look at Boosterbox's ads if you want. Okay. Next thing what you want to do is you want to get some ads created. I mentioned earlier on, one of the best ads we've ever run is a customer just unboxing their box, and also a collage of happy customers with their box. So if you're driving social media engagement and you have some previous testimonials or pictures and videos of people opening and enjoying your box, that's actually a great ad to run. Okay. Also, you can go to Fiverr or Canva and create your own ads, or get a freelancer to do it for you on Fiverr. And just create your ads, make them similar to what's working for your competitors, and then run them out and test them. And the only thing we need to do then, and the only thing I would do, is I would test the ads and I would see what's the click-through rate on the ads, what's the metrics on the ads, and if all those things are working and the ads are getting traffic and I know my website converts, then I have my business set up and I'm running it. And I would pretty much just rinse and repeat that until I have multiple thousands of subscribers. So yeah, just that was pretty much what I wanted to talk about this week. I wouldn't spend much in pre-launch. Also, remember, when you're in pre-launch, you can't make sales if you've no way to take in money. So it's a lot of work, basically, with no hope of getting paid. I wouldn't work with influencers because they can't influence people. I wouldn't expect too many sales from social media. So as I said, like, I didn't say not to do any of these things. I just said that you need to understand that I would do social media to get engagement and user generated content, and I would do a pre-launch just to build up some momentum and validate my offer. I would get very clear on who my customer is and how I can help them. I'd optimize my website to convert using this information, come up with an unbelievable offer, install a sign up flow and create email automations, and then run ads modeling what successful competitors would do. Believe it or not, that's the game. That's how you grow a subscription box business. So hope this podcast was helpful. Feel free to hit me up in the group Subscription Box Success, or you can email me at gary@garyrebin.com.